We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Well, hi again, everyone. I'm Mark Renee, and this is On the Mark. It is a different kind of On the Mark than maybe you have become used to over the years as we are morphing into what will sometimes be a dive and frankly, other times only a dip into the stories behind the stories in the world of sports. And for today, we're simply sticking a toe in the water with winter coming back for an encore here in New York City. Maybe that is all we want, getting wet. Our guest today is young Larry Moreno. He's wrapping up his sophomore year at St. Francis College in Brooklyn. His season on the men's basketball team had already ended before the sports world had to shut down because of the pandemic. But Larry Legend, as he is known on Twitter, Light Cheese and Dominican Mamba, he is also known to his friends, and there's at least one broadcaster on the Terrier Sports Network who thought Mr. Mothballs might have been appropriate back in the early part of February. We will certainly get to all of that and young Mr. Moreno's recent turn on a pretty big stage thanks to his trick shot videos, which have taken social and traditional media all by storm. First of all, Larry Moreno, thank you for joining me. How are you, and how's the family doing over there in Brooklyn?
I'm fine. Thanks for asking. The family is always doing fine as well. We're just trying to hang in there like everybody else and trying to occupy ourselves every day. But other than that, everybody's good.
All right. Now, besides all these trick shots you've been working on and getting through final exams, which you're in the middle of, how else have you and the family been passing the time with, for the most part, a quarantine in place?
So me and my brother, every day, let's say we wake up, we eat, watch YouTube videos, watch movies, watch shows. And I try to work out here and then, stretch a lot, especially because of my hip surgery. My mom's been going to work like basically every day. So we just trying to hang in there and get by every day.
All right. Remind me, if you will, and our listeners, what does your mom do for a living? I know she's got a pretty important job.
Well, my mom, she takes care of old people. So she's like a home attendant and she basically does everything for them.
Okay. Now, we've heard a lot about the elderly population being highly susceptible to this coronavirus. How concerned, if at all, are you that she might be exposed?
So we all like worry about every time we go outside, like make sure that we are protected. We wear our gloves, we wear our masks. So we all worried about this whole pandemic and this whole crisis that we're going through. But for her, she's always taking care of herself and she's in a home with somebody that doesn't really go outside and they aren't exposed to the outside world. So that's one thing that we are positive about. And hopefully like nothing ever changes. And since they aren't exposed to the outside world, I feel like she's safe and she can continue on working.
Well, that's a relief. Okay. Now, you're talking about coming back from your hip surgery. That cost you all of the previous season, and you had only started really to hit your stride toward the end of this season. But before we talk about that epic day you had in early February against Mount St. Mary's, I want to ask, how are you and your teammates staying in any kind of basketball shape since you're not allowed to have really any kind of structured workouts right now?
Well, our trainer, Yuki, he sent us a program, and I'm assuming that he's going to send us a program basically like every 6 weeks or every 5 weeks. And he basically adjusted to like what everybody could have in their house. Like we have dumbbells or barbells and resistance bands. So like everybody's just trying to work out at home and do as much as they can. Hopefully this all blows over and we can go back to being in the lab and being in the weight room all together. But other than that, everybody just got to go along with the program and do as much as they can do in the house.
Yeah. Now, what are you hearing, if anything, about plans for the immediate or the near future regarding how soon you and the rest of the guys might be able to get back on a practice court or even in the weight room back on campus?
Well, I've seen a lot of, like, media pages and the news. I've seen a lot of times they said that this may go on until next year and we might still be in classes online and everything, which is probably the worst thing in the world because I really miss basketball. Yeah. And if I don't get to play another season, I don't know how I'm going to handle that. But if this all blows over, let's say by the summer, I just cannot wait to go in the weight room and go on the basketball court, especially with my teammates, because I really miss playing basketball with them and I really miss working hard with them.
So you've been passing the time with these trick shots that I want to talk about in just a sec. But first, full disclosure for everybody, it was I who came up with that mothball nickname. It was February the 8th against Mount St. Mary's, as we mentioned. That was a Saturday afternoon on campus in Brooklyn Heights. You played 20 minutes off the bench, 19 points, made 7 of your 9 shots overall, 5 for 6 from downtown. But to me, at least, and I have to imagine you feel the same, what made it even more special, not just the numbers, but it was the first game you played in 2 months. So I'm wondering, now that you've had 3 months to reflect, what do you remember the most about that afternoon?
The most I remember about that afternoon would be when Coach Breaker came up to me and he asked me, was I sure that I wanted to play? Because I've been up and down with my hip during practice and everything. But the last 2 weeks around that time, like, it wasn't giving me no trouble. So I decided that I wanted to play. And he came up to me and he said, are you sure you want to play, Larry? You know you can't go back from this, right? And I just simply told him I'm positive and I'm ready to get in the game.
And you really did make the most of it that day. I want to talk about the other nicknames that you have. Can you give everyone a little background on where Larry Legend and Light Cheese and Dominican Mamba all came from?
Okay, we're going to start with Larry Legend. So
that's your Twitter handle, right? At least part of it, yeah.
So I put that as my Twitter handle because when I grew up in Williamsburg Houses, and as a kid, I was always like one of the best kids in the neighborhood. So like the older guys, they used to call me Larry Legend. So that was always like a name that I just kept for myself because like they were the ones who gave me that name. Light Cheese Larry and the Dominican Mamba came basically from high school, a little bit of middle school. Dominican Mamba came from my friend named David. He one day called me the Dominican Mamba because we was playing pickup basketball and I had my Kobe shirt on. And everybody knows that that's my idol and that's the person I look up to. So he just out of nowhere, he said the Dominican Mamba. And from there on, I just started calling myself that every day. And like, let's say I post a video of me playing basketball or a status of something, I'll put hashtag Dominican Mamba.
Okay.
And let's say around my sophomore year of high school, that's kind of when I started blowing up, like having great games and the PSAL, which is the league that I played in high school. Mm-hmm. And every time my coach would post like the game results and my stats and everything, he would put the Dominican Mamba strikes again. And that's when the news started realizing it and everything. And everybody just started realizing that that's my name. Everybody started calling me that. Even once the news, Brooklyn 12 News, like called me, I kind of knew that everybody was well aware of the Dominican Mamba. So that's where that all started from. And that's how it just kept going and kept going. Light Cheese Larry actually came basically around the time I started doing my trick shots.
Okay.
So Light Cheese is a saying that's been going on, let's say, for years now. But I started saying Light Cheese in high school as well. And it would be the same way after the Dominican Mamba. After I put, like, let's say, like, this is not the first time like I've been doing trick shots. Like, in high school, I used to make a lot of crazy shots. And I just never recorded them. Like, I used to do it in practice and stuff like that.
Okay.
It was just one time I posted a trick shot. I did a 360 under the legs off the wall. And I've done probably, like, two other shots. And I put Light Cheese And let's say I posted a video, I put lychees, and lychees basically means like it's easy. So like my name is Lychees Larry. Basically, I'm trying to say like whatever I do, like the trick shots, or like let's say I have a great game. Basically, I'm saying that it's easy, like light work.
Okay.
So I incorporated my name with Lychees because I like the way it sounded. And I decided to basically make it into a movement. So that's how Lychees came about, and it really blew up. Like, people actually started calling me that, let's say around last year, when I started doing the trick shots around the same time. Every time I'll put a video up, I'll put the two emojis. It'll be a light bulb and a cheese emoji.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And everybody started using it from there on. And now it's just going through the roof.
Yeah. Yeah. You've really, it's a terrible pun, but you have really taken off these last couple of months. Ever since you started putting these things on social media. I do want to talk about the trick shots in just a sec, but I want to get back to Larry Legend, because you obviously didn't really have a chance to see the original Larry Legend play, Larry Bird, but what do you know about him?
Well, I know he was a guy, like, I've seen a video of him one time. My favorite moment with him is when he was in the three-point contest, and I think he missed, like, his shots on purpose. I believe that's what they were saying. Well, that's what he was saying. And then when it came to the point where he had to make every single shot to win the game, he made every single shot. And then when he let go of the last shot that he took, which it was in the corner, he just held his hand up and just walked away as if he knew it was going in.
Yep.
And I remember that because I forgot where I seen it, but I seen it with my uncle. And I just felt like I like that confidence, and that if you see like some of my videos, like I'll be turning around with a lot of confidence, like it's gonna go in. And it just reminded me of that. And I also seen, like, it was this one time he was playing against, I think it was the Hawks, I'm not sure, but he was making so many shots that the other opposing bench was like going crazy for him, and they were on the other team. I didn't really get to see him play, but I already know he's a great player and he's a great shooter. And that's basically what I'm hoping to be as well, especially in St. Francis. I want to be one of the greatest shooters that have come from there. But that's pretty much all I know about him.
Okay. And I do have to ask you about Kobe. We had a chance to talk about him after the unfortunate accident that took his life. But, you know, when you look back now, it's been almost 4 months. What goes through your mind when you think about Kobe?
Well, I'll start off like the day that it happened. So that day I was in my bed, and I was in my dorm room, and I was with my teammate. And when he told me the news, like, I took it as a joke, because in my head, I'm like, this is not real. Like, I just didn't pay my attention. I'm like, bro, stop playing around. But I remember he left the room like 30 minutes later, and I'm just on my Instagram account. And I just keep seeing new pages and everybody just constantly reposting it. And big pages, like news pages, were saying that he was dead too. So, like, it just hit me out of nowhere. Everybody started texting me, like, I'm sorry for your loss. I know how much he meant to you, how much you looked up to him. And, like, from there on, like, I just started crying. And I could not hold back my tears at all. And I just basically, like, I remember my coach had texted me. He told me just take everything that he's taught me, the mindset that he basically, like, put in. Like, I model my game after him. So, like, I try to have, like, let's say a Mamba mentality. Like, I take everything serious. I work hard. I make sure that I'm on top of my game and everything. So my coaches noticed. So they basically told me just stay positive and just take everything that he gave me and just keep working hard. And just work even harder just for the fact that, like, that's my idol and everything. So me looking back, like, it's still, like, to this day, sometimes I'm like, yo, I cannot believe it. Like, this don't make no sense. Like, especially since he was young. Like, it don't make no sense, like, how it all happened. And then on top of that, with everybody that was in the helicopter with him. But I just try not to think about it much and just go on about my life.
All right. Well, I appreciate the thoughts, and I want to help you cheer up a little bit. Let's talk about these trick shots and lighten the mood. First one I remember finding on your Twitter feed was late February. You did it on campus inside the Daniel Lynch Gymnasium and the Pope Phys Ed Center in Brooklyn Heights. It was the Stop and Wave Challenge. What brought that about?
So I've seen the Stop and Wave Challenge before. I believe it was like with a dunk. And I felt like I was able to use it. I actually tried it one time, but I did a layup instead of a dunk. And I didn't really like, I didn't think it was like that cool. So one day I'm like, I should try doing it from half court and doing a 360 waving and then shooting it from half court. And that's just, I just did it.
All right. And then the next one I found around the middle of March, it was maybe a week into the shutdown. You were outside with a mask on, we should remind everybody. And you hit this ridiculous hook shot. It looked like you went over and maybe through some trees at a neighborhood park. How far was that?
Are you talking about the one that was like one shot?
Yeah.
That one, that, you know, it's crazy that we talk about that one. That's the only shot that I've ever hit on my first shot. Like, so that shot, I honestly don't know how far it was. I know that I was like, it was full court. Plus I was outside the park. So it was a lot more steps like behind full court. But I honestly don't really know how far it was. But it was pretty far, though.
All right. You mentioned that's the only one you've hit in one take. What about the rest of these videos that people are seeing? Because to be honest, you know, I've heard from people that they think it's Photoshop. I've been trying to convince them it's not. Why would a kid want to do that? But if it's not Photoshop, how many times has each of these trick shots taken to actually go in?
So, all right, let's get this straight. I don't know how to Photoshop. I don't know how to deal with all that technology and everything. So I don't even pay mind to it because, like, I know what I do. And regardless if I told somebody, like, them people that like saying that, like, if I tell them, like, yo, I'll give you, let's say, 2 weeks to even try to do these shots, you probably never make it in your whole life. Like, and I don't even spend, like, a whole day making a shot. Like, I'll go outside, I think about a shot to make. I spend, like, if I feel comfortable with it, I'll spend a little bit of time doing it. I don't count how many tries I'd make, I take, but like, there's times where I'll make a shot. Like, I've made shots like in 5 tries, I've made shots in a lot more tries, like 30 minutes. Like, I don't count how many times it takes because at the end of the day, like, I know, like, it's a pretty hard shot. And right. Even if I told you realistically, like if I told you I took one try or even 5 tries for each of these shots, you'll look at me like you gotta be lying. Like, I don't, like, I'm not gonna sit here and say I make these shots pretty fast. There's sometimes, like, for example, when I shot off the roof, everybody thought that took me forever, but it actually, I knew how much it took me. It took me 5 tries to make that shot. And I knew it took me 5 tries because, like, 5 tries is a little bit of times. But, like, say there's shots that take, like, 30 minutes or 45 minutes, something like that. Like, I don't count how many tries, so I personally don't know how many tries it takes. But at the end of the day, since everybody already tells me, oh, I know you probably took days to make that shot, or you took 10 hours plus, 1,000 tries, like, I've never in my life taken that much time to make a shot. So I know that realistically, like if I told you it was like 5 tries, like, that's not possible all the time. And I know, since you think that it takes me like days to make it, that even if I told you it took me, let's say, like 30 minutes, an hour, like, it's still very impressive.
Oh, it's definitely impressive. Now, here's my question. And, you know, I've seen all of these now. And I want to talk about, you know, how the rest of the country, if not the rest of the world, is getting exposed to these. You're not filming these yourself. It's not like you have a phone on a tripod somewhere. There's somebody who's recording these videos for you. It's your brother, right?
Yeah.
So how patient does your brother have to be to withstand all of these tries until you finally make him?
Well, he's patient. Like, it's, like I said, it's not like I beat it all day, so it's not really a big problem for him. And regardless, like, with all the attention that we get in and everything, like, he really don't have a problem with recording me and everything.
Okay, so along these last couple of months, you've racked up, by my count, thousands of views of all these different videos. You started getting national attention, ESPN, bunch of other websites. I know Bruce Beck had you on from Channel 4 here in New York within the last couple of weeks. So what is life like, Larry Legend, Mr. Light Cheese, as a viral video sensation right now?
Well, right now, I'm living my life like I always did. Like, I don't really pay mind to it. Like, the only annoying part is, like, sometimes, like, people constantly spam me, my messages, constantly try to tag me and stuff. And then you know you always going to have, like, fake love from certain people that didn't support you before. Now they want to show you love because of everything that's been going on. So other than that, like, I don't really, like, pay mind to it. So it's like I'm still living my regular life, and I love the fact that I have a lot of supporters and people showing me attention now, and I'm getting recognition from like all over the world, but I'm still living my regular life.
Okay. Well, you're staying humble. That's good. Whose reaction has been the coolest that, you know, when you see a tweet or a post on Instagram reacting to this, or maybe a comment on the YouTube page, whose comments or reactions have been, you know, the ones that make you stop and go, wow, this is really cool?
Well, I wouldn't say reaction, like, because I don't go through all my like comments, but let's say like certain people that have followed me, like, oh, because of the shots, like, I actually like sat back and I was like, wow, that's crazy.
Okay.
So first, let's, like, even, like, with SportsCenter and everything, right? So, when the first time that they posted me, right, like, I was, like jumping. I was happy and screaming. Then House of Highlights posted me. It was the same exact way. Then House of Highlights actually followed me, right? And they actually sent me a basketball. So, like, stuff like that makes me feel happy and everything because, like, a year ago, I was making crazy shots. And I would tell everybody, tag House of Highlights, tag SportsCenter, tag Overtime. And, like, they would constantly, like, they wouldn't see it all the time, right? And I guess they would never feel like it was good enough to be posted on their page.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that now, like, I have contact with them and they actually follow me, like, I'm actually, like, very happy and, like, I love the support that they give me as well. But somebody else that actually followed me that I've been a fan of for years now and I listen to his music all the time is Drake. The day that Drake followed me, I actually posted on my Instagram account because I couldn't believe it that he seen my page and he actually decided to follow me since he only follows like 2,000 people. And like, I was just so happy that I'm one of those people that he follows, especially since I've been a big fan of him, of his, since I was little.
All right.
But
so
that's pretty much it.
Larry, what kind of credibility does being followed by Drake on social media give a guy your age?
So it's funny that you bring that up because I've had people like try to hit me up and say, like, I see Drake follow you. Can you please repost my video or music video or show it to him? So I've gotten like a lot of people that follow me or just a lot of people in general that try to message me just because he follows me. And I know a lot of people that also text me like, oh my God, I can't believe Drake follows, because like a lot of us like love his music and everything.
Right.
And look at him as like a big time person. So I feel like it just brought more, a little bit of popularity to me.
This is almost like the social media version of if you win the lottery, you know, and you get these family members that you've never heard of, cousins of cousins of cousins who are like, hey, man, remember me? I saw you at a family reunion. Can I have a couple of bucks? Now it's people who are using you to try to get to Drake and your other connections on social media. I get a kick out of that. I don't know how you like it, but I'm amused.
So I even since high school, right? Like, I always had people, like, let's say, like, that didn't think I was that good and just always, like, looked at me as a regular kid or whatever. And then I know, like, once I, like, started blowing up in the city, I started being recognized by, let's say, some colleges, and then I committed to a Division I school. Then that's when, like, some people were like, oh, I always knew you was talented. Now that you are in Division I, like, I'm so proud of you. And like just basically trying to congratulate me and everything. But like just a year ago, 2 years ago, like you didn't like want to support me or anything. So I was always kind of used to like the fake love, because at being like a kid from New York, like you always grow up with fake love around you.
Right.
And you just got to basically know like who's always been there for you, who's always believed in you. So like I already know who like supports me from the beginning and everything. So I don't really pay mind to that.
All right. Well, you know how I feel about you. And, you know, when we're done with this and we post it on Twitter and Facebook, if we can get Drake, you know, in the loop, that would be really cool. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kind of kidding. No, I'm not really kidding. Can we do that?
I don't know.
Let me ask, because I forgot to ask, but what was your inspiration for starting to do all these trick shots? I can't imagine that you rolled out of bed one morning and said, you know, I'm kind of bored. Let me see how I can make basketball a little more interesting. How did this all come about?
All right. So like I told you before, right, I've been making like crazy shots since I was like young. So I kind of always knew it was kind of easy for me. So this came about last year. I'm not sure which day it was, but I had posted a video on my Instagram account and I was recording myself and I made a shot backwards from half court, right? And like, I realized like, even like that, I'll be shooting around in the gym and I'll shoot the shot backwards from half court. Like, I'll constantly make it, right? So like I told you, I've decided to like incorporate light cheese into my name and everything. Right. So I decided to basically make my page and my following increase by making shots that people actually like, because I made, let's say, two or three more videos and people actually was like, how I make them shots and everything.
Right.
And I realized I could really like take this serious and just build basically my name and the light cheese movement more and more through these trick shots. And I just like just kept going on with it.
When you were a kid, did you watch the Harlem Globetrotters a lot on TV, or did you get to see them in person?
Nah, that's one thing. Like I've had people like try to like and they'll comment on the other pages like, oh, this person was the one who started all of this trick shots and everything. But I never really like let's say like saw somebody do something mm-hmm. and be like, oh, I want to do it too. Like I just always like been creative and try to do it on my own. I don't know how I like to put it, but like I never really looked at somebody or like I inspired by somebody else that does trick shots to do my trick shots. Like it was just something that I came up with on my own.
And I'm sure you've seen at least on YouTube or other video platforms these epic McDonald's commercials with Larry Bird and Michael Jordan. Do you watch those and do you think, well, I can do those? I've been doing those shots.
I've seen videos, yeah, but I never really like. I'm not really sure like what shots he's saying, but I know like I've seen like Magic Johnson and Jordan, like they'll be playing around horse, I believe, like mm-hmm. when they was playing for the USA team.
Right.
But I never like looked at their shots like it was pretty cool or anything. Like they look like regular shots to me.
It's light cheese to you.
Yeah.
Really hard for the rest of us, but light cheese for Larry Legend. As we wrap things up, I'd need to ask, how anxious are you to get back to a quote-unquote normal routine after all of this?
Oh man, I can't wait, honestly. Like I said, I've been out for almost a year and a half. I just got back into the game basically so then in my sophomore year. So I just can't wait to get back on the court, especially to work out with my teammates. I miss being in the weight room. My freshman year, like, I was just in the weight room nonstop, and I just can't wait to get back into everything.
All right. And even when all this is done and we're back to a regular routine, you going to keep up with these trick shots?
If you, like look at my account, right, I kind of stopped like at the end of the summer, right? Because I had to focus like on school. I had to focus. I had to work out every day. I had practice and everything. So I took a period off of trick shots because like I had to basically like work on myself for my team and everything. I made about three videos during this year, like during the school year. So like I'm not really gonna be on top of it like I was. Like during this time, because like I don't have much time for it,
right.
And I'm not really sure if you know like my video's been outside, so it's kind of harder to come up with certain ideas in the gym. So it's just like I'm not gonna be on top of it as much.
Okay, let's get everybody up on your social media handles. Twitter is at Larry_Legend32. Instagram, LCF_Larry. What else do we have? Those are the two biggies, right?
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
And if you follow Larry Legend, maybe you get a follow from Drake, too. All right, last question I have to ask, and I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to get a rebuttal from him, but I'm wondering how much pressure do you think all this newfound celebrity of yours might put on your head coach, we talked about him before, Glenn Breyka, to get you some more playing time next season, provided, of course, there is a next season?
Well, I don't think he's going to get any pressure at all, especially with the mindset that he has. He's not going to pay attention to any of that. But playing time, that's all up to me. Like, I'm the one that has to work hard. I'm the one that has to show him why I need to play more. And it's also going to go down to how great my hip feels and everything. So I don't think, like, this, like, celebrity thing is going to faze him at all.
You sure?
Positive.
Okay. So fans, when they start packing the stands at home, especially, you know, when you're not in the game, and if, you know, if the Terriers need a little bit of a push offensively, you don't think they're going to start cheering and chanting to get you in the game?
Well, like I said, if I'm not in the game, that's all up to me. It's my fault why I'm not in the game. If, let's say, like, they feel like they need an offensive push, if I'm not showing my coach that I can be an offensive player and I'm not good enough to be on the court at that time, then, like I said, that's all up to me. But if the stands is packed and I'm not in the game, I honestly don't think that the crowd would change his mind.
Yeah, I tend to think that's probably true, knowing him all the years I do. You might be right. So, listen, I appreciate you doing this. It's been a lot of fun. I've enjoyed it. I hope you have, too. And I look forward, really, and I say this to everybody because, you know, when's the last time I saw anybody? But I really do look forward to seeing you and the rest of the team as soon as we possibly can all get back together.
Definitely.
Well, let me say this, especially for you, as you continue that comeback from the hip surgery, stay healthy, stay safe, stay sane if you can, and wash your hands.
You too.
All right. I'm Mark Renee. That's Larry Moreno, and you're On The Mark.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.